In 2025, for the first time ever, enterprise spending on quantum computing, at $300 million, surpassed the combined spending of all governments and research institutions. The technology is officially moving from the lab to the ledger. But what does that mean for your business? Is this an opportunity you can capture, or a threat that could erase your competitive advantage overnight? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that shapes strategy. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are dedicating the entire show to one topic, quantum computing. The news cycle has been relentless, with major developments in government funding, hardware breakthroughs, and commercial adoption. It's moving faster than anyone predicted. We're going to cut through the hype and focus on the strategic implications for Western business.
Exactly. We'll first look at the massive government investments from the US, Europe, and India, and what this geopolitical race means for technological sovereignty. Then we'll analyze the critical hardware milestones from companies like IBM and Google.
After that, we'll pinpoint the commercial tipping point. When does this technology actually start solving business problems? And finally, we'll cover the most urgent issue, the cybersecurity threat of harvest now, decrypt later, and the immediate need to migrate to post-quantum cryptography. Troy, let's start with the money. We're seeing staggering government investment figures. The U.S. CHIPS and Science Act alone is allocating around $280 billion towards tech, with a huge focus on quantum. What's driving this global spending spree?
It's a race for technological sovereignty and supply chain control. The U.S. Department of Commerce is injecting over $2 billion directly into quantum firms, including a $1 billion grant for IBM to build a 300-millimeter superconducting quantum wafer fab in New York. This is about onshoring the means of production for the next era of computing.
So this isn't just R&D funding. This is industrial policy. How are Europe and other players responding?
They're responding aggressively. The European Commission is preparing an EU Quantum Act to secure strategic autonomy. We've seen France add another 1 billion euro to its national strategy for 2026-2030, and the EU just launched 6 industrial programs with 300 million euros to mass-produce quantum components. Meanwhile, India's national quantum mission is funding startups, and QPAI has just opened what it calls Asia's largest 8-inch quantum chip foundry in Bengaluru, aiming for 10,000 qubit processors by 2027.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers? Is this a threat or an opportunity?
It's both. The threat is falling behind in a technology that will redefine material science and complex process optimization. The opportunity is immense. This government funding is creating domestic ecosystems. U.S. manufacturers in the semiconductor supply chain, for example, should be looking at how to support facilities like IBM's new Anderson Fab.
And for Western trading companies?
They need to map this emerging geopolitical landscape. Sourcing advanced components will become a matter of national security. Understanding that India is building a specialized foundry for superconducting QPUs, or that a European consortium led by Pascal is focused on neutral atom components, is critical for future supply chain strategy.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening now?
Investigate your national quantum initiatives this quarter. The CHIPS Act in the U.S. and programs under the EU Quantum Act are actively seeking industrial partners. There is capital and strategic support available for companies willing to engage with this ecosystem now, not later.
All this investment is impressive, but is the underlying technology actually advancing? Are we any closer to a useful large-scale quantum computer?
We are seeing fundamental engineering barriers fall. This week, IBM announced a critical milestone, successfully connecting and cooling two separate cryogenic quantum modules. They call it a modular architecture, and it's the key to their IBM Quantum Starling, their first fault-tolerant system targeted for 2029.
So instead of building one giant monolithic chip, they're building connectable, Lego-like blocks. What about their competitors?
Google is on a similar timeline. They just opened their new quantum AI campus in Santa Barbara and have also set a firm 2029 target for building a large, error-corrected quantum computer. These are not vague roadmaps anymore. They are specific, time-bound engineering projects.
What does this mean for manufacturers, especially those in high-tech fabrication?
It opens a new market. Take the news from Cornell University. Researchers there found a way to use krypton gas instead of argon during the fabrication of tantalum-based quantum chips. This lowers the deposition temperature by 200 degrees Celsius, making the process compatible with standard semiconductor manufacturing infrastructure.
European and U.S. fabs now have a clearer path to pivot or expand into quantum chip production without a complete retooling.
And for distributors and trading companies?
They need to track the ancillary technologies. It's not just about the quantum processing units, or QPUs. It's about cryogenic cooling systems, high-precision lasers, and specialized interconnects like IBM's L-coupler technology. Sourcing these components will be a major business as companies scale their hardware.
What's the key action item here?
If your business is anywhere in the semiconductor or advanced hardware supply chain, you should be assigning a team to evaluate how your current capabilities can serve the quantum sector. The R&D is done. Companies like IBM and Google are now solving industrial-scale manufacturing and integration problems. That's your entry point.
Let's get to the bottom line, Troy. When will this technology actually be usable for a typical manufacturing or logistics company? When is the commercial tipping point?
According to a new Boston Consulting Group report, we've already passed it. In 2025, enterprise spending on quantum hit $300 million, exceeding government and research spending for the first time. This isn't about future potential. This is about current application. We're seeing it in the market with Quantinuum partnering with Oracle to put their Helios quantum computer directly on the Oracle Cloud infrastructure.
So it's becoming a cloud service, just like AI and machine learning. You don't need to own the hardware.
Precisely. This democratizes access. Quantinuum's Q2 2026 revenue was $8 million, a 279% year-over-year increase. This is real money from real customers. The utility sector is forecasting a tipping point between 2028 and 2030, when they expect quantum processors can handle 100 logical qubits, making grid optimization problems solvable.
What does this mean for our listeners in manufacturing?
It means your competitors in R&D-intensive fields are already using it. Canadian firm Xanadu is working with the University of Alberta on a framework to accelerate cancer drug discovery. This is directly applicable to any pharmaceutical or specialty chemical manufacturer. The goal is to simulate molecules at a quantum level, drastically reducing lab-based trial and error.
And what should trading and distribution companies know?
They should know that their clients are starting to solve intractable optimization problems. D-Wave announced its second production application with NTT Docomo in Japan to optimize their complex telecom network operations. This same quantum annealing technology can be applied to global supply chain and logistics routing. If your business is logistics, your entire model is about to be disrupted by superior optimization.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Don't wait for a perfect million-qubit computer. Identify one high-value simulation or optimization problem in your business, be it fleet logistics, financial risk modeling, or materials design. Task a team to begin exploring solutions on cloud platforms like Oracle's, which now offer direct access to quantum hardware. The learning curve is steep, and starting now provides a significant advantage.
Troy, we've talked a lot about opportunity, but quantum computing also presents a profound threat, particularly to cybersecurity. What is the harvest now, decrypt later risk we're hearing about?
It's the most immediate and tangible quantum threat. Adversaries, state-level actors, are recording and storing encrypted data today. This could be your intellectual property, financial records, or confidential communications. They can't break the encryption now, but they are betting that in 5 to 7 years, a capable quantum computer will be able to decrypt it all using Shor's algorithm.
So the data you think is secure today is actually just a ticking time bomb.
That's exactly right. Cybersecurity authorities like HKCert are issuing urgent warnings. By the time a fault-tolerant quantum computer is publicly announced, it will be too late. The harvest is happening now. The EU plans to begin coordinating its members' migration to post-quantum cryptography, or PQC, by the end of 2026, with critical infrastructure to be fully migrated by 2030.
How does this specifically affect US and European manufacturers?
It puts their core competitive advantage at risk. Think about proprietary chemical formulas, advanced engineering designs, or sensitive client data. If that data is exfiltrated and stored today, it will be an open book to your competitors in the future. The value of your entire IP portfolio could go to zero.
And for trading companies?
All of your commercially sensitive data is vulnerable. Pricing structures, supplier lists, contract terms, shipping manifests. An adversary who decrypts this data could perfectly anticipate your market strategies or undercut your supply chain.
This sounds dire. What is the actionable immediate step executives need to take?
This is not a hypothetical IT project for the future. You need to mandate your CIO or CISO to begin a cryptographic inventory this quarter.
They must identify every system, application, and protocol that uses public key cryptography. Following that, they need to build a migration plan based on the new algorithms being standardized by NIST. For example, security firm DigiCert is already recommending a hybrid key exchange scheme and the MLDSA algorithm for authentication. The transition needs to start now.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for executives in the U.S. and Europe?
First, the quantum race is now a geopolitical reality. The massive investments by the U.S., EU, and others are about building sovereign industrial capabilities and secure supply chains. Your business needs to understand this landscape to find partners and opportunities.
Second,
the hardware is scaling, and the path to industrial production is clearing. Breakthroughs in modular design from IBM and new manufacturing processes from universities mean the focus is shifting from pure science to engineering and logistics. This opens up a whole new high-tech supply chain for Western companies.
And finally, the most urgent takeaway.
The cybersecurity threat is not a future problem. It is a today problem. The Harvest Now, Decrypt Later strategy means your sensitive data is already being captured. The migration to post-quantum cryptography is a business continuity imperative that must be initiated immediately. A cryptographic inventory is the non-negotiable first step.
Troy, thank you for translating this incredibly complex field into clear business intelligence. The message is clear. The quantum transition is happening now, and inaction is a strategic choice with serious consequences.
My pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. Join us next week for another strategic briefing. To make sure you don't miss it, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening.